With the fire danger high and the weather hot, it's a great time to talk about making our homes just that much safer in case of fire. The FireWise program has been adopted by fire departments all over the country, including several in our area. We get frequent FireWise tips on things like clearing out defensible space around rural homes so fires run out of fuel short of the house. Being FireWise also includes things like planting fire-resistant plants. Jackson County Fire District 3, generally north of Medford, went beyond talking about FireWise gardens. It actually planted three of them. Ashley Lara is a fire and life safety specialist with Jackson County Fire District 3 and is in the studio with me here on The Exchange. Ashley, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Give us the general run of what FireWise is all about for the people who might just be getting used to the term.
Right. So the FireWise program is really a very grassroots program where someone in the community realizes, hey, we are close to wildfire activity every year. What can I really do to make my house safer? Not only my house, but how can I affect the people around me as well? So really, it's a gathering of community members who, you know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes you've lived in a place for like 10 years and don't know your neighbors. And so it's a way to get to know each other, get each other's phone numbers, make a phone tree, maybe establish someone who may need a little extra time to get out if something were to happen, and make a plan to see what we need to remove to make each other safer. So like removing juniper, which is highly flammable, Italian cypress, Leland cypress, that blackberry that we have everywhere that makes fabulous jam but is like extremely flammable that you want nowhere near your home. And so just coming together and really making a plan to make yourself safer. And the great thing about FireWise as well is that it doesn't have to happen all right now. You can make a plan to maybe remove things and plant things over, you know, 2-5 years.
So is there something like a FireWise checklist or schedule is it just for people in rural homes? Let's start there.
Okay, so absolutely not. Let's start with, is it only for people in rural areas? Ashland's a prime example of that. The Oak Knoll fire happened within the city limits. We are in an area where we live in fire country. So wildfire may just think that happens in the forest. Well, we have moved into an area that when fire happens, it moves like a wildfire because of our density and our slopes and all of that kind of combined with our weather. And so we're really targeting in District 3 all of our communities in the city limits of Central Point, in the, you know, right downtown White City, Eagle Point. And so we're targeting everywhere. It's just as impactful for people who actually live in the city because fires can either start from the forest and move down, or they can actually start from a city home and move out. So everyone is applicable to start and, you know, grow the program.
Well, you already woke me up because I was thinking in terms of, oh, wait, the Oak Knoll fire. That's true. We think of it as a wildfire, but it really was just a spark that jumped the freeway from a field across the street from some homes. It's not like it started in woodland or from a lightning downstrike or anything like that.
Absolutely. And that took 45 minutes to destroy 11 homes. And so that's pretty impactful. And what FireWise really looks at is like proximity between homes, what you have planted. And it kind of takes a broader scope of if something caught fire, where would the fire move exactly, or where are the potential areas if the fire did start, and how would they affect the rest of the community? So it looks like a really broad angle of different scenarios of how that would look and what would happen.
But so now back to the question that I started to form a moment ago, which is there a checklist of things you do? I mean, this is the perfect FireWise home, 100%. You check all the boxes on this list.
Absolutely. So there is a checklist that's laid out for you. And some of the things are really common, like probably spring cleaning things that you may forget about. It's clearing your gutters, clearing your roof of debris, needles and leaves and things like that. Make sure there's no moss growing on it. Some things you may not think about, like even if you have a lower deck, make sure there's no pine needles under there and pine cones and leaves, and don't have those brushy foot mats at the foot of your door. Those have been known to get embers on them and catch your house on fire. So actually 90% of wildfires that catch homes on fire are started by embers. So it's not the big raging flames you think about. It's the small little things that that the embers can get into that start the larger fires.
Something comes flying out of the wind.
Exactly.
And those
can travel 2 miles. I mean, there's really no, they can travel a ways for sure. And there's been instances where they've traveled further than 2 miles. And so those are the things that we need to be really cautious about.
We're talking FireWise with Ashley Lara, the fire and life safety specialist at Jackson County Fire District 3. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. If you got FireWise questions, let's hear them. 800-838-3760 around the region by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. So let me get welcome mats, really? Your welcome mat can be a source of ignition?
Yes, absolutely. And even if there's a wildfire going on around your area, we even ask that you remove the cushions from your outdoor patio furniture. Those can be extremely flammable. If you have a higher deck and you put your lawnmower under it, remove the bag because the bags are really flammable on lawnmowers. So it's really the smaller things that you need to worry about, but it's really that 30-foot space between the furthest extension of your home, like a deck or something, out and around. So limbing up trees to make sure they're not straight on the ground, because a lot of fires start on the ground and then move up. So we try to eliminate these things called ladder fuels. So if you have grass and then a juniper and then a tree right underneath each other, we want to remove the juniper, A, because it's extremely flammable, but it's also going to put off a large enough flame length to get into the tree, which can then move to your roof and then can move to another roof. And so we kind of look at what kind of causes one thing and can lead to the next.
Juniper is taking it pretty hard here. I mean, it smells great, but juniper, rosemary, and cypress, I see, are the ones that you really come down on hard. What do they do in a fire?
Oh, man. They ignite so quickly, especially juniper. They're so dry and brittle. I always talk about them like they look like good makeup. Like they're nice and green on the outside, and then you just pull away a little bit and look in the center, and it's just dead and brown. It's like a haven for rodents and insects, and it's just everything dead just combines in there, and it just sits there. But you don't really think about it because you don't see it. I've never once seen a juniper. It doesn't matter how old or how young it is. It's dead in the middle. And they just ignite that quickly.
So Fire District 3 has created 3 FireWise gardens, clearly juniper-free gardens.
Yes, absolutely.
And where are the 3 gardens, and who made the decision to go ahead and head this way?
So our chief kind of was forward-thinking and knew that we have our FireWise stations at Sam's Valley, Gold Hill, and Agate Lake. There are rural fire stations. And we actually removed some juniper from those stations and old railroad ties that were really brittle and dry. And so he was just very forward thinking, saying, you know, if we really want to become fire adapted in our area, we need to set an example. And we need to have something where we can not only bring in adults, but bring in children to come and take a look and say, you know what, this is what we have at our house. We need to remove it and replace it with something more fire resistant. And there are such great varieties. People think fire resistant and they think like clearing their whole entire, you know, house of any type of vegetation.
They're thinking like xeriscape.
Yeah, we're not suggesting that. Like, I wouldn't like that for myself personally. So there's some beautiful options that are heat resistant, that have erosion control, beautiful colored plants with blooms. And so there's some great options for being FireWise and still having great landscaping.
Okay, so let's talk about the stuff that does work in a FireWise garden. Some of the things you have planted, are they all generally the same, or are there some radical differences between the 3?
Oh, yeah, there's totally different plants in all of them. Kinnikinick, we have ground covers, shrubs, trees. Anything deciduous typically is great. Anything leaf-bearing. We want to stay away from evergreens so much. If you have a large, like pine trees, if something's established and well-maintained and healthy, we're never going to tell you to cut that down, but just make sure it's limbed and away from your house. But if you're planting something new, definitely stay with something that's maybe more native, like our Oregon grape and Oregon fern, or at least something fire-wise that's not going to readily catch fire.
Are the evergreens a problem because of the sap and the way it burns and boils and does all that stuff?
The sap, and then they're just drier in general, unfortunately. But if they are well-maintained, like I always tell people, you think about chopping up a green log and throwing it in the fireplace. What's it going to do? It's just going to sputter and not do much for a while. Everything burns eventually, but we don't want to plant something new. It's the mature stuff that we want to keep and keep healthy. If there are some type of those mature evergreens by your house and they are healthy, they actually can protect against radiant heat, and there's some good benefits to them as well, but we don't suggest planting them within the first 30 feet.
Grab your headphones. We're going to take some calls. Ashley Lara is our guest, fire and life safety specialist at Jackson County Fire District 3. We're talking about FireWise gardening. There are 3 demonstration gardens in the district. If you've got questions about the kinds of things to plant that can make your home more fire resistant, join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760. Or for that matter, if you've got a story to tell about doing this already, you can also reach us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Pearl in Medford. Welcome to the Exchange with Ashley.
Yeah, hi. I have a neighbor who's got, you know, I live out in Sam's Valley, but a neighbor with a pasture, about a 5-acre pasture full of teasel, and she's, you know, probably 80 or so, and so she just doesn't really have the way to maintain that pasture, and I'm afraid, you know, if it catches on fire, the teasels burn very quickly. Are there any resources in the county for people to, you know, get like a pasture mowed or control burned or anything like that?
Good question. Something to reduce the fire danger beforehand. Pearl, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Ashley, what do you know?
So that's a great question. I've been in other areas where we've been very competitive in getting some grant funding. And so I've been at my position now for about 2 months, and we are being very competitive in getting some grant funding. We are not naive in knowing that this costs money. I mean, to remove things and maintain things, it does cost money. And so we are in the process of applying for some grants where we'll be able to hopefully assist landowners in just what she's talking about to help mitigate. Another way of maybe tackling this is bring a couple of your community members together, start a FireWise community. What that entails is me coming out, making an assessment on each of the properties, seeing, you know, prioritizing what needs to be done first, and then kind of combining resources to tackle that list. And that be a great way to start with this.
I was going to ask you about assessments and audits. So you do go out and check and say, okay, this works. Yeah, that could be a problem.
Absolutely. And a really big thing to push too, though, is there's no restrictions, no regulations. I don't come and inspect you. You don't have to maintain like any certain code. It's really on the landowners. The burden's back on the landowners, but you know what could be done, and then you can make a plan on tackling what you want to do first, and or if you want to even do it at all. It's not regulatory.
Let's talk about the process of doing the FireWise garden part of things, though. The demonstrations you have are the three fire stations, and not all the fire stations, just these three.
Three, but we are in the process of looking to get them all done, actually.
Okay, yeah. So they could all be decorated later. What's the cost? I mean, do fire-resistant kinds of plants cost a bit more than junipers and cypresses, for example?
Actually, that's not necessarily the case. Some of those, like the juniper and cypress, they grow really fast. They don't need a lot of maintenance, and so they can be on the more spendy side. But fire-resistant, there's so many that are fire-resistant. It really is what you want to make them. Probably I would, for the areas that we were doing, I would probably say that there was like $500 or $600 worth of plants in each. But we got a pretty healthy, substantial amount of plants. And it's all irrigated and beautiful. We put some hardscapes down. We put some different bark mulches down. We do encourage bark mulch. We do not encourage big bark chunks. Some of that thicker bark that you see, we encourage the fine material that's really, really cut up into fine material, because the other stuff is just as flammable as anything else. A lot of people like to put bark right up against their house, and it's a really easy way for it to get under the foundation and into the side of the trim. So we encourage actually rock right there. But it's not a hard process. It's really fun to be able to pick out these types of plants. We have a ton of resources. Jackson County Fire District 3 Fire Adapted Communities Facebook page has a bunch of plant lists that were put out by the Oregon OSU Extension Office and ODF and some other groups that helped put this actual list together of what's really safe for this area.
I took a look at the list that is put up by Oregon State, and it's quite a long list, and it's a great name. Carpet bugleweed, pink pussy toes. You mentioned kinnikinick.
Yep.
Rock cress, mahalamat, snow in summer, purple ice plant. These are just the ground covers. Then for perennials, you get the yarrow and chives and columbine. Somebody was asking about lavender. Is that one of the fire-resistant ones?
So lavender is a tricky one, and I love this one because we do have lavender in our gardens. And once they're maintained, they're great. They don't really need a lot of maintenance either once they're actually established after the first year and a half. The thing with lavender is you have to maintain them, and you have to keep them small, because if you let them get big and overgrown and bushy, they become really brittle, and they ignite very quickly as well. So lavender is awesome, especially in the Ashland area. That's like maybe the one thing the deer don't eat, and in a lot of different areas. So, I mean, if you're looking for something deer resistant, absolutely go for that lavender, but you got to stay on top of it and continue to get the dead material out and keep it manicured.
Okay, so which raises the question then, how much water do these require? If we're talking about fire resistant, are they also drought resistant?
Good question. So a lot of these plants are drought resistant. And if you go to the fire resistant plants for home landscaping booklet that is posted on our page that we were just talking about, they actually have a little index and show you how much sun they need, how much water they need, what attracts deer, what attracts butterflies and birds. And so that's a really good way to go in and select something that you absolutely want. But the first year and a half, all plants need water. After the first year and a half, getting them maintained and kind of to their roots are kind of in place and they're structured, after that you can back off on the watering. But the first year and a half, you really got to make sure that they get stable.
All right, we need to point out too that fire resistant does not mean fireproof. There's nothing quite like that in plants.
Unfortunately, rock. I mean, if you want a landscape rock, that's pretty fireproof. Other than that, I mean, any type of plant is going to burn eventually over time if it gets hot enough.
Follow up to the other question about land clearing. And this is Jay, I think, in Walterville asking about places to go to look for solutions. He lived in Southern California. They'll come and clear your land for you if you don't hear the notices and bill you for it. I don't think Oregon's quite to that point, is it?
There are some weed abatement programs in different cities in Jackson County, but it's an education piece. They try to warn you beforehand and talk to you and educate you about it. If it goes beyond that, there can be some citation. We're not to the point, though, that we're going to go out and do the work and bill you for it. I can see that California, I can see that happening, absolutely. We really want to educate, especially Jackson County Fire District 3. We're all about education and bringing our community with us. And so a big piece of that is going to hopefully be some funding in the future where we can set even more examples and bring people along with us.
Now, the gardens at Sam's Valley, Gold Hill, and Agate Lake Fire Stations, the public can just drop by and take a look at them?
Absolutely. We actually have learning paths through them. We also have signs posted of what to plant, what not to plant, what are some of the characteristics of the plants. And so our hope is also to get kids out there this year and tie it into their curriculum.
Okay, good to hear about it all. Ashley Lara is the Fire and Life Safety Specialist at Jackson County Fire District 3. We're talking about the FireWise Gardens at the three fire stations. Ashley, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.